The following message was given by Brothers Frank Hong and Timothy Hong in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, November 24th, 2019. The title of the message is Moses Desiring That All Jehovah's People Would Be Prophets. Scripture reading, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, Numbers chapter 11, verse 29, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1, 3, 5, 24, and 25, and 31, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18, 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27.
Speaking God, you desire to speak to us and to speak through us. Lord, we want to care for your desire to be the proper prophet, to speak what's on your heart. We offer this meeting to you. Thank you, it's not we who are speaking, but you're speaking through all of us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. This week we have come to this message, which is a review of the message that we have 3 weeks ago. Because of the Northeast Conference that we had in New Jersey, and because of the topic of this particular message, we felt it's very important for us all to have an opportunity to go through again and to share something that we have been touched by the Lord in this message. And so this is message 9 from the second crystallization training on the book of Numbers. And the title is Moses Desiring That All Jehovah's People Would Be Prophets.
Amen.
Oh, our God is a speaking God. Right. And God has spoken. According to Hebrews 1:1-2, God having spoken.
Right.
In the Old Testament, through many portions and in many ways, has at the last of these days spoken to us in the Son.
Right.
So the Bible reveals to us that God is the one who speaks. If you just pause and consider it a little bit, this is a tremendous matter.
Yeah.
The God that we believe and the God who created the universe, He is a speaking God. Without His speaking, He is a mystery. No one would know who this God is like, or what His desire is, or what He intends to do. Without His speaking, we have no idea, and we cannot find out. We don't even know who this God is and what He desires to do. But God has spoken, and it is through His speaking that we can know His purpose. And another marvelous matter is not only He speaks Himself, but He desired to speak through human instruments, to speak human means. So not only He speaks by Himself, you know, the Bible is full of this word, God said, right? God said. But God not only speaks directly, but God often speaks through human instruments or means. And I'm freshly touched with this particular matter. So today, I'd like just to begin my sharing of my enjoyment of this message concerning what is a prophet and the goal of prophesying, and something that I enjoy concerning our practical exercise in prophesying in the church meetings. So God is a God who speaks, and through His speaking, He reveals Himself. And we see in the Old Testament, He used many prophets. Often, the Spirit of Jehovah would come to a certain person, and they would start to speak, not their own words, but what Jehovah, what God has given them to speak. And in the New Testament, God has gone even a step further. Not only He comes to certain people to speak and then leave, but He has come in a person, in the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So in the New Testament, this great principle of incarnation is that God now speaks in the Son, in a person. And we'll see a little later that that person not only is the Lord Jesus individually, but today we as the members of the body of Christ, we are also part of this corporate son,
Amen.
Whom God is still speaking through. So we need to be open, and we really need to touch the desire of our God's heart to echo his desire. He wants to speak, but in a sense today, he cannot speak unless we cooperate,
right.
Unless we are open to receive his speaking to us, and then be faithful to minister what he has spoken to us to the others, whether in the form of preaching the gospel or giving a testimony or a word of prophesying in the church meetings. So this verse in Numbers 11:29 that Moses uttered in the midst of a situation where he felt it's too much. He was overwhelmed with the responsibility in taking care of God's people. And he cried out to Jehovah. And Jehovah asked Moses to select 70 of the elders of the children of Israel, that they would also bear the responsibility to speak for God and to care for God's people. And it is in this situation that two of the 70 did not come to the tent of meeting, according to what Moses had said, but still Jehovah had put his spirit upon these two, and they prophesy as a result of of Jehovah putting his spirit on them. And it is in the midst of this situation, Moses exclaims, "Oh, that all of Jehovah's people would be prophets." That was an echo of the desire in God's heart. God wants us to speak for him, to be his prophets. It shouldn't be just a select few. Because of the people's failure, we see that, and we often consider prophets are someone special in the Old Testament. Well, they are special because they are speaking for God. They represent God. Their words did not come from themselves, but they spoke something for God. So they are special. But God's desire is that all of his people will be this kind of prophets. The first matter that I was touched with this week is how much we need to touch this desire in God's heart. Most of us don't like to speak, or maybe we like to speak our own words. But when it comes to speaking in the church life, speaking to one another, speaking for the Lord, sometimes we have some reservation, some hesitation. Maybe we're not as good as brother so-and-so. But I hope, saints, you would touch this desire in God's heart, that God desire you to be his prophet, to speak for him. Now, what is a prophet? This is a particular term that often you find in the Bible. You don't see this word that much in our normal day conversation. So what exactly is a prophet? Many people, including many Christians, would consider a prophet as someone who foretells or tells something in the future. But we can see from this this portion and many portions in the Bible that a prophet is not mainly one who predicts what's going to happen in the future, but one who speaks for God and speaks for God. So in a sense, a prophet is a spokesman for someone else. I was helped with the example of Aaron and Moses in Exodus chapter 7. Maybe we can read those two verses. Exodus 7, verses 1 and 2. "See that I have made you God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother will be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall speak to Pharaoh, and he let the children of Israel go." So in Exodus 7:1, we see clearly that Aaron was given as a prophet to Moses, in a sense that he would be Moses' spokesperson. When God called Moses, he again was a little hesitant. He says, I'm not a good speaker. I'm slow in speech. So God provided Aaron to be his spokesperson. So Aaron was Moses' prophet. Important point here to see that a prophet does not speak of his own. Another verse that I would like to read is 2 Timothy 1:21. 2 Peter 1:21. For no prophecy was ever born by the will of man, but man spoke from God while being born by the Holy Spirit. So this verse defines or explains what a prophecy is. A prophecy in the Old Testament, particularly especially in the Old Testament, is that certain men who are born by the Holy Spirit, similar to how a ship is born by the wind. And as they're being anointed by the Spirit, they spoke something from God. And that became a prophecy. And the prophecies spoken by the prophets are not something out of their own mind, their own imagination, but it came from God. So when we aspire to be prophets, we have to realize that we're not speaking our own words. It's not so, when you come up to share something, when we learn to prophesy, it's not just to tell your own story. Even that story may be related to what God has done for you. Maybe God has helped you in certain situation. God has healed you of certain sickness. But in our exercise being to be a prophet for God, we have to realize that we're not speaking our own words. We are speaking for God. Therefore, it's not a light matter whenever we speak for God. It may be short, maybe a little something that you enjoy this week, but you have to realize that that is a word that God has given you to share, to speak to his people. You're not speaking your own word. I'm in the translation service, so this week the Lord reminded me that, and I'm somewhat helped by being in this service, that when I'm translating, I am not speaking my own word. A certain brother is speaking something, and maybe there's a need to translate that into another language. I have no right to add to what the brother is speaking. As he's speaking, a faithful translator needs to say whatever that person is speaking. To deviate from what that person is speaking, you fail as a translator, and therefore, you fail as a prophet for God. So we have to be faithful to speak what God has given us to speak, and not to speak something of our own word. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that you are simply learning something about God. Often what God has spoken to you are your experience, things that you go through in your daily living. But whatever our experience, when we learn to prophesy in the church meeting, we have to bring out the point that this is something that the Lord has spoken to me. And I am burdened, and the Lord has given me this word to his people. So a prophet is one who speaks for God and to speak for God. And sometimes that speaking is in a form of a prediction. An example is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Here Moses said, a prophet will Jehovah your God raise up for you from your midst, from among your brothers like me. You shall listen to him. So when Moses uttered this word, he says, a prophet will Jehovah raise up from your midst. That has not happened yet. So this is this prophecy in a sense of predicting, right? And he's foretelling that this prophet will come. Who is this prophet? Let's read Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and 33. Okay, Acts 3:21 and 22. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Whom heaven must indeed receive until the times of the restoration of all things, of which God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. Moses said, a prophet will the Lord your God raise up unto you from your brothers, like me. Him shall you hear in whatever things he speaks to you. So this was from Peter speaking, and in his speaking he applied what Moses has spoken to the Lord Jesus. So Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophet that Moses mentioned in Deuteronomy 18:15. He is the prophet. He is the real prophet from God. And he came not to speak his own word. We can read John 7:16 and 17. This is the Lord speaking. Jesus therefore answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but him who sent me. If anyone resolves to do his will, he will know concerning the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. So, you see, even the Lord Jesus himself, he did not came to give his own teaching. He says, what I spoke to you are not my teaching, but the one who sent me. So he is the real prophet. And it is through the incarnation, in Moses speaking, he says, a prophet will Jehovah raise from among your brothers. This implies that this prophet is from among your brothers. So through the Lord's incarnation, through his incarnation is that God has become a man. And this man, Jesus, is the real prophet who came to spoke for God. And, you know, in the Old Testament, also, often people, when they want to find out what Jehovah's speaking is, what God wants to speak to them, they have to go to a prophet. And the prophet will receive God's word and speak to his people. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus is the real prophet. He is God coming. And through his incarnation, God spoke in the Son. Everything that he said and everything he did was a speaking to explain to us what God, who God is and what he desires to do. And through his death and resurrection, this Jesus today has become the life-giving spirit. So when we receive him into us, not only we receive him as our Savior, but he today is the reality of the prophet, typified by the Old Testament prophets. Amen. We have two verses from 1 John 2:20 and 27. Let's read these two verses.
And you have anointed him from the Holy Ghost, all known as you.
The anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and we have no need that anyone teaches you. Anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as he has taught you, abide in him. So today we have a prophet in our spirit.
Amen.
If we need to know what God wants to say to us, we don't need to go to another person. Of course, we can have fellowship with the saints, but before we have fellowship with someone else, it's important, it's good. It's necessary to first check with the Lord within. Lord, what do you think about this matter? What kind of decision should I do? This verse tells us that we do not need anyone to teach us, but as the anointing teaches us concerning all things. And this anointing is true, it's not a lie. So we all have this anointing within us. We have the prophet of God in us. Today, if you want to find out about God speaking concerning you, first thing you have to do is to turn to your spirit, to follow the sense of the anointing. Now, not only God wants to speak to us, but today he wants to speak through us. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, especially in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, encourages us to prophesy in the meetings. To prophesy is the function of a prophet. And in verse 31, he says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all be encouraged." So this, the practice of prophesying in the church meeting is a great thing. And I want to come to this point on the goal of prophesying. Why do we prophesy in the meetings? Why do we practice prophesying in the meetings? Well, Paul had told us clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 3 and 5. Maybe we read those two verses again. "But he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to man. Desire that all come, but especially that you would prophesy. And greater is he who prophesies than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive building up." So he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to man. And he who prophesies builds up the church. So the goal of our prophesying is to build up the church.
Amen.
And that's actually God's desire. God wants to build up the church. But he needs you and he needs me to cooperate with him to prophesy in the meetings. And not only in the meetings, but in everything we do in a way of speaking, we need to speak something of God to build up the other saints, to build up the church. And this particular point, I want to share something that I enjoyed last week concerning the spiritual warfare and the preparation of the army, God's people being formed into an army ready for battle. And there was one point last week that I really enjoyed that was mentioned by some brothers, is that it takes two generations to form this army. There is an older generation who has passed through much. They passed through a lot of things. They were brought out of the land of Egypt from their slave houses. They experienced Passover, how God saved them from the judgment of the death angels by killing the Passover lamb and eating the lamb in the house. They came out, crossed the Red Sea. They tasted manna, food from heaven, and they've witnessed and enjoyed the living water that came out of the cleft rock. So they went through a lot. And they also have a lot of failures. The second generations who are on the cusp of entering into the good land, they did not experience as much. But it was through the older generation speaking to them that they were built up, that they were made ready. Let me just read a little paragraph that I enjoy. "The second generation did not pass through as much as the first generation did, but they received the benefit of what the first generation experienced. I believe that the older generation told the younger generation about all that they have experienced in joy and suffer. The speaking was part of the raising up or the building up of the second generation." Saints, I was reminded last week that our banner for the church here this year is to raise up all ages for the Lord's testimony, with the emphasis of the next generation. So we all have a burden to raise up our generation, our next generation. But how do we raise up our next generation? Our speaking has a lot to do with this. So we have to learn to prophesy to build up our next generation. Now, last week, my youngest son turned 16. And you know, we had something for him. And in the birthday celebration, my wife gave a speech. And I enjoy it so much. So she recounted how in the last 16 years, she was in a meeting where she consecrated herself. This was before our youngest was born. She consecrated her to the Lord, and also she consecrated me to the Lord. You know, and she recounted some of the things that we went through, including a certain year I was my job was changing, or I was the company was going to lay off people. So I had to either find another job or move with the company somewhere else. So as she was recounting many of the experiences that we went through in the last 16 years, I was very inspired. And I believe my sons, they were also quite inspired. So I believe through that little speaking, something was ministered into them to see that we're not here just to take care of our human life, take care of our family life. We're here for God's purpose. And what God has done, has faithfully did for us in the last few years, that speaking was something that builds up the next generation. So I really enjoyed that. And I hope we can all share like this. And also last week, I encouraged many of the older saints, as we will be getting into this topic of material offering for the Lord's move today, that you would also consider what your experience of the Lord is in supplying your need and to give material offering for the Lord's move. I believe that we need a lot of the speaking from the older ones.
Right.
This kind of speaking will build up our next generation, will help them to experience the same or even more to cooperate with the Lord's coming back.
Amen.
So one last point that I want to share concerning our practice of prophesying is that this is a matter of practice. I know we all felt that I cannot speak that well, or my speaking is merely natural, or maybe my speaking is not qualified to be prophesying. I enjoy this verse from 2 Corinthians 4:13. Maybe we can read this verse together. And having same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. So this verse says, having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. And in our pursuing together with the brothers on Monday night, I really enjoy a portion from a book that we're reading. And I don't feel that I can speak any better than this, so maybe I'll just read this a little bit. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said, and having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. This verse says that we have the spirit of faith. As we speak not according to our mind, not according to what we think, but according to what is written. We do not speak in the meetings because we are so much, we do not speak in the meetings because we're so much in our mind. When we are in the mind, we have a mind of doubts, not a spirit of faith. Doubts are in our mind, but faith is in our spirit. If we turn from our mind to our spirit, we have faith. If we turn back to our mind, we have doubts. And many times we don't come up to share. So practically in prophesying, there are three elements that we have to pay attention to. One is the element of the Word of God, and this is our learning. So throughout the week, And especially in the morning, we need to get up early in the morning, spend some time with the Lord over His Word, so that His Word can become His speaking to us. So we need to be in the Word. And our prophesying needs to be based on the Word. It's always good to have some verses ready when you come up to prophesy. The second element is the instant inspiration of the Spirit. So when we learn to prophesy, we have to do it in our spirit. And for this, you need to come out of your mind. Why is it that so many hesitant, or you wish that you had come up? Many times you just can't come up to share something in the microphone because we spend too much time in our mind. We consider, oh, I'm not ready. I don't know how to put all these together. I do have something that the Lord spoke to me this week. And I encourage you maybe to write it down if you have some of the Lord speaking. And then to come up together to share that with the saints. And then the third element is that we need to have a vision concerning God's economy, God's purpose, so that our speaking will not veer off, will not just demonstrate how much we know, how knowledgeable we are. We need a vision of God's economy in our prophesying. So when we are in, let me keep reading a few paragraphs. When we are in the meeting, you may agree with everything that is said. But after you go back home, you may turn to your mind, begin to doubt what you heard. The book of Genesis tells us that Satan did his best to turn Eve from her spirit to her mind. When he succeeded in this, Eve had a question mark put in her concerning God. Faith is in the spirit. When you turn to the spirit, you believe. This believing faith immediately becomes the speaking faith. When we believe, we will speak. To talk is one thing, but to speak is another thing. We come to the meeting to speak, not to talk. The scripture says, I believe, therefore I spoke. It should be the same with us. Many of us do not open our mouth in the meeting because even after we come through the entrance into the meeting hall, you're still in your mind. When you look at yourself and the other brothers and sisters, you have a lot of considerations. As the saints are functioning in the meeting, you may say to yourself things like this. This one is too poor. This one is too loud. That is a word without experience. That is absolutely without reality. Are we guilty of this? So we're listening to the saints. We're judging the others speaking. When we're thinking in this way, we are in our mind. So your mouth is shut up by your thinking. The more you think, the more you consider, the harder it is for you to open up your mouth. You do not speak because you are so much in the mind. You need the spirit of faith. You need to turn yourself to the spirit. Sometimes when you come into the meeting, you may have a sensation that the atmosphere is dull. Sometimes we come to the meeting, we feel like it's too quiet. No one is sharing. Actually, this sensation of dullness is Satan himself. This is his subtlety that defeats you. When you have this sensation, you should immediately declare that Satan is a liar. Then you should open up your mouth to speak for the Lord. If you practice this, the meetings will be in the third heavens. Amen. So saints, that's all practice. Amen. We can all prophesy one by one. Amen. And it's God's desire that we speak for Him. Amen. One last encouragement is, we know Abraham Lincoln gave a very famous address, Gettysburg Address, that clearly tells why we're fighting the Civil War. But his response after and he was not the main speaker in that occasion. He followed another person who spoke for 2 hours. And Lincoln spoke for about 2 minutes, only 10 sentences. But that was such a clear speech that affected generations to come. Anyway, when he sat down, I believe he spoke to the person next to him, says, I don't believe that stick. He used a particular word. But he felt that the audience didn't get it. He felt that the speech possibly is a failure. It's a flat failure. But look how much we have enjoyed from that speaking. So I was reminded of this example. When we feel that there's a need in the meeting, yeah. There's some dull atmosphere, we all have the responsibility
Amen.
To come up and share and speak what the Lord has spoken to us.
Amen.
Don't worry about people's response, and don't worry about how well you spoke. My experience is often the worst speech that I felt that I gave. Actually, a lot of saints came to me afterwards, oh, I really enjoy your sharing. The point is we have to exercise our spirit. Turn to from our mind to our spirit and exercise our spirit in our preparation of the word and just be faithful to speak for the Lord in the church meetings. Amen.
The subject is Moses desiring that all Jehovah's people would be prophets. Moses desiring all Jehovah's people would be prophets. Our brother already shared, I just want to point out that in 1 Corinthians 14, it mentioned that he who prophesied builds up the church. And the greatest prophecy in the New Testament is the Lord Jesus, his word. I will build my church.
Amen.
Of course, we read that, I read that, as praise the Lord, you know, the Lord will build his church. But in 1 Corinthians says, he who's prophesied builds up the church. Is the Lord building up the church or are we building up the church? Both, right? The Lord said he will build. He will build. But the word tells us he will prophesy builds up the church. So we build up the church also. It is the Lord in us. We speak, we speak a prophecy, we prophesy, we build up the church. So this matter of prophesying is very important in the New Testament. The building of the church hinges on the matter of prophesying. When I read the when this week when we go over this message, our brother already pointed out in Exodus 7. In fact, in Exodus 3 and 4, when the Lord called Moses. And Moses said, I'm a slow in speech. And so the Lord told Moses that your brother, your older brother, will be your prophet. That is Exodus 7. So Moses is slow speech. But the verse we read in Numbers, maybe I just read it to you because we read earlier. Moses said to him, say to Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all Jehovah's people were prophets and that Jehovah would put his spirit upon them. So Moses is not a prophet. He is slow in speech, but he is desiring all Jehovah's people to be prophets. And the Spirit was set upon him. Okay, let me read on. In the Deuteronomy 18:15, then Moses spoke in Deuteronomy. A prophet was Jehovah your God raised up for you from your midst, from among the children of Israel, from among your brothers, like me. So here, Moses is saying, I'm a prophet, but the Lord will raise up a prophet from your midst, from among your brothers, like me. So is Moses a prophet or no? Moses is prophet because he said he's prophet. Okay, there's a confirmation because if just Moses said it, he said it, right? If I say I'm something, nothing to prove, then it doesn't mean anything. In Deuteronomy 18, we also read that's Wednesday's verses. A prophet will I, Jehovah said it, raise up for them from the midst of their brothers like you. A prophet, Jehovah will raise up like you. That means Moses, right? Moses is the prophet, and the Lord confirmed it. So there is a process. Now, Moses was slow in speech, but eventually he became a prophet. And the Lord said, you are a prophet. I just want to share a little bit my own experience. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it mentioned, we read that verse, pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. In other words, the Lord was, through Paul, was telling the Corinthians, you know, they need love. And the chapter 13 is a whole chapter on love. But in chapter 14, verse 1, Paul mentioned, you pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Because Corinthians, they were aspiring to have the spiritual gifts. But Paul said, but especially that you may prophesy. That you may prophesy. In other words, Paul, you know, he's a builder of God's house. He knows that for the church to be built up, there's the need of saints to prophesy, because he who prophesies builds up the church. And in my youth, I was a kind of shy person. I'm not kind of outspoken. But when I read the verse, then I had the prayer, Lord, you know, I desire to prophesy, to build up the church. Amen. And so what happened? I started learning, you know. I think we all are the same. The first thing we can do is we can pray, you know. I cannot do it, Lord, do it in me. So I just want to encourage all of us, you know. We all can start from some place. And we all can start by making a simple, short prayer. And the Lord can do a lot in us and through us. I enjoy in this message that toward the end, it offered a lot of practical points for us to enter into this burden of prophesying. You know, Brother Frank already told us we need the 3 points. You know, we need our learning, and we need the Spirit, you know, touching us, and we also need to see something that our speaking can have a direction. And in this message, toward the end, there was a Roman numeral concerning that the New Testament showed that God wants us, the saved and regenerated ones, to prophesy as prophets. So Moses desiring was God's desire. And Moses desiring was echoed by Paul, because Paul promoted the method of prophesying. And Moses said that word, and maybe Paul picked up, you know, the concept concerning prophesying from Moses. In other words, this method of prophesying, in fact, it's originally in God's heart. But Moses received the burden, even though he was slow in speech. But he realized there's the need of the prophets that's to speak among God's people. When there's no speaking of God among God's people, then you know, the people have nothing to direct their living, their direction. In fact, I read a verse this week in Matthew 11, 13. Maybe we can read that verse together. Matthew 11, 13. Okay, let's read together. for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. This verse tells us that in fact, the whole Old Testament was a prophecy. And the Old Testament, in God's view, in the Lord's view, is composed of two parts, the law and the prophets. We know the law, mainly was the Ten Commandments, but with a lot of other ordinances. In fact, it covers all the Pentateuchs in Moses' writing. For the rest, is category into the prophets. And in fact, the whole Old Testament, it was a prophecy. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So John, in fact, initiated the New Testament, the Old Testament until John. Of course, our brother mentioned that the Old Testament prophets typified the New Testament, the Lord Jesus, but the indwelling the Lord Jesus, because we use the verses in John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27, the anointing teaches us all things. The law in its fulfillment was the law of life. Today, we don't have the written law, but we have the life law. Divine life we receive is the divine law, is the living law. So today, it doesn't mean that now we are New Testament believers, we are not under any law. That may be a little too much. Of course, we are not under the ceremonial law, circumcision concerning diet, and concerning keeping the Sabbath. We are not keeping those. So today, God has given us the living law, which is the law of life. But for the prophets, God has given us the indwelling Christ as the anointing. The anointing teaches us all things. So today, we have the living one speaking to us. In the beginning, when I went over this message, I was a little, wasn't so clear, because it mentioned that we all need to be using the verse. Is Moses desiring all God's people were prophets, that the Spirit of Jehovah, that the Lord would, Jehovah would put his Spirit upon them. So we're all prophets, but it mentioned this in this portion that the prophet in the New Testament, the prophet of the Old Testament in the New Testament is the anointing, because the anointing teaches us. So the Lord is the prophet in us now. So the Lord is the prophet. The New Testament said the Lord gave gifts, for the building up of the church, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. So the prophets are the gifts to the church. But in principle, we all can prophesy one by one. Even though we may not be prophets, Apostle Paul, than other ones, but we can do that what they do. So we all can prophesy one by one. So this is God's desire. So today we just need to follow the pattern that Paul has set for us today, that we all can, Moses is the same. He also learned, eventually he can prophesy. And he was a prophet. Okay, let me come back to the practical matter concerning the prophesying, that we all need to read the word. I think we are doing it. So if you have read the word every day, you have something in you, because a prophet is a speaking one. But a prophet is not just speaking something, but a prophet is one who speaks the word of God. So we need to read the word and enjoy the word, then we will have something. But we also need to, according to this list, concerning, maybe I'll just read a few points concerning for us to be one speaking, and we need to know God and experience Christ. Then we will have the adequate knowledge concerning what we should say. Then then what we say should be for building up, for encouragement, and for consolation. Because some of the speaking, sometimes in our small groups, some may have questions. Then end up everybody asks questions. The questions sometimes are not building up, are not consolation, and not encouragement. So we need to follow the principle. The prophecies are for encouragement, consolation, and building up. And also, to prophesy, we need to be constituted. That's what Frank mentioned earlier, that we need to have the knowledge of the Word of God, and also we need to have the content, to have a vision, and also we need the living. So the prophesying is, you know, we have the meetings, they tell, you know, everyone can prophesy. But at the same time, in our homes, sometimes we can speak to one another. In fact, that is a prophecy. So we can learn to speak to one another. Even in while driving back yesterday, we were in the car. We were speaking something. It wasn't something formal, but it's very encouraging. So there's plenty opportunity for us to practice. I believe Moses did a lot of practice after he said he's slow in speech. But through practice, he was able eventually to say, the Lord will raise up a prophet in your from your midst like me. I hope all of us, we can say the same thing. I was slow in speech, but now, praise the Lord, I can say a few words for the Lord. Amen. That all may learn and all may be encouraged. Okay, I'll stop here, and maybe we all can start prophesying. Share your portion, because he who prophesied builds up the church. And the Lord said he will build up his church. And I think we all will be happy that in the Lord's building up his church, that we have a part. And today, praise the Lord.